If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter. And we're going to talk about change. Change this morning. In a Peanuts cartoon section, Lucy says if she was in charge of the world, she would change everything. And Charlie Brown says, that wouldn't be very easy at all. Where would you start? And without a blink of her eye, she looked straight at him and she said, I would start with you. You know, most of us don't deal very well with change, do we? Most of us don't like change. Most of us like to just kind of get in a position and stay right there and just enjoy. We know what's coming up next. We know what we're supposed to do. We know how we're supposed to act. You know, we just don't deal well with change. Yet, if we were to go around this building and ask everyone this morning, just about every one of you would say that you would like to change something about your life. We all want to change, but here's the problem. To change means work, doesn't it? And most of us don't like that kind of work because it's hard to change. But in order to be something better, something more, something different, there is a change that must come about in all of us. That means there are some things about your life you must change. It's the same about our life in Jesus Christ. How many of us are totally happy with right where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on that. Because I really don't think I would get anyone to raise their hand. Because I don't think any of us are really satisfied with our relationship with Jesus Christ. We want better. We desire more. We would like to see us to get closer to Christ. But it seems for so many Christians that when we become Christian, we just sort of sit back and wait for it to happen. And it just doesn't seem like it's happening to us. But if we're going to have the life in Christ that we want, the life He wants us to have, there is a time for change. So today we're going to look at this idea of change as we get into our text and think about the change that God wants in our life. Read with me in our text there this morning from Colossians, the third chapter, picking up with verse 5 and going through verse 11. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. In a new life, we must make some changes. Then first of all, we need to change our direction. There needs to be a change of direction. Verses 5 through 7, or 5 and 7 in our text this morning, gives two lists of things that we need to make sure we get out of our life. Now, you may think that you're immune to these things. You may think, well, all these things don't bother me at all. But when we examine what is the very root of these things, we'll see that they all affect us in some way or another. So there must be a change. Two construction workers were sitting down together every day to eat lunch. And one said, I hope I don't have another meatloaf sandwich in my lunchbox today. I'm getting so tired of meatloaf sandwiches. The next day, the same construction workers sit down together, and you know, the same guy said, meatloaf. Meatloaf sandwich, I hate this stuff. The third day, they sit down together, and they opened up their lunchboxes, and he said, oh, meatloaf sandwich again. I'm getting so tired of meatloaf every day. And the fellow sitting there with him, he says, you know, man, why don't you just tell your wife to put a different sandwich in your box for lunch? And the first fellow said, my wife? What are you talking about? I'm not even married. I make my own lunch. If we want to do something different, to be different, it is up to us to make the changes. You see, verses 5 and 6 says, there is therefore put to death in your members which are in the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. When we become a Christian, we are to die to the old way of life. And verse 5 tells us that we are to consider these things, this list of things that is given there, as dead. We are to literally put to death these old things. And, you know, to consider them dead means that we are to hold, we are not to hold any, make any hold on them whatsoever. We're to put them in check. We are to restrain them. We are to not do them. But a life that is unrestrained will lead us in the wrong direction. Up in verse 3 of this same chapter, we're told that we died with Christ. But here we're told to consider these things within us as dead. We have died with Christ, but we still live in a very sinful world, and we deal with the issues of a sinful world every day of our life. And in that we are in this world and we have to live in this world, we have these issues to deal with, and these issues are a part of our life that we as Christians have to put to death. You see, when someone is dead, is no longer affected by the ways of the world. And we are to consider ourselves dead to this world. You know, but this verse reminds me that there is a part that I have to play in this change. If I want to walk with God, if I want to be like God, if I want to be like Jesus Christ, there is something I have to do about it. If you want to be like God, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, there is something you have to do about it. We need to change our direction. But we must change our direction from self-gratification. You see, up to the time that we became a Christian, it was all about me. It was all about you. It was about what I wanted to do, what I wanted to say, what I wanted to be, where I wanted to go. It was all about me. But when I became a Christian, when you become a Christian, all of that changes. In verse 5, we're given a list of things that we are to consider to be dead. Fornication, which is immorality. And it deals mainly with sexual sin. And it's the same word from which we get our word pornography today. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Well, verse 5 goes on to include uncleanness, which is impurity. It'd be impure passions, impure evil desires, covetousness, which is greed. All of these issues deal with getting what we want for ourselves. But you see, this list is really in reverse order. The root of these things is greed. And greed is that overwhelming desire to have, to get what belongs to someone else or whatever doesn't belong to us, but we want it. And sometimes it includes breaking the law in order to get what we want for ourselves. And it is that relentless urge to get more and more and more. But we must go in a direction that is pleasing to God, and desiring and greedy for things is not the direction that God would have us to go. And as long as we live in this sinful world, we will struggle with these issues. The last part of verse 5 tells us that these things amount to idolatry. That is, that we set them up as our gods. You know, when we reject the God of the Bible, we create our own God in the image that we want our God to be. We create for ourselves out of our desires and our appetites and our lust a God that fits us. And many in this world today has done that very thing. Oh, we may not have little statues sitting up in our house that we fall down before and worship. We may not have all of the things that go with idolatry as such. But anything that comes between you and your love and service for Jesus Christ is idolatry. When we became a Christian, we left the old life behind because it doesn't get us to where we want to go. If I went around this room and asked everyone here this morning, would you like to go to heaven? Oh, yes. I don't think there's one person here would say, no, I don't want to go to heaven. Well, does that mean you want to go to hell? Oh, no, I don't want to go to hell. No, I don't want any part of that. Everyone wants to go to heaven. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. You see, the old way of life leads to destruction. It separates us from God. It opens us up to being subject to the very wrath of God. The old way of life has nothing good for us. It uses us and then just tosses us aside. The things listed in verse 5 are to be a part of the old life. And this is why we're to put sin and death, sin to death in our lives. We have a new direction. We have a new walk. We are changing our ways. And when we sin, it is because we are doing what our flesh wants instead of doing what God wants in our lives. When we were baptized into Christ, when we were immersed into Christ, we were fully saved. And thus our new life is to reflect Jesus Christ to the world about us. Well, this new life, if we're going to have the new life, there must be another change that takes place there, a change of attitude. Verses 8 and 9 deals with attitude. It says, but now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds, with his deeds. Because we put off the old life, we need a new attitude. Paul tells us that we are to put on a new attitude. We are to put off the old attitudes. And to put off means that we take them off. We take them off like a piece of clothing. We shed ourselves them. We disrobe of these sinful attitudes. If you've been watching the news, you know that this week there was a comic expo over in Cincinnati at the Duke Energy Convention Center. And one of the main characters that they were talking about this week was the Hulk. Maybe you saw the Hulk on some of the interviews on the news. But the cartoon character deals with this man, Banner, who had a terrible accident in the lab. And as a result, when he gets mad, he transforms into this huge, out of control green character called the Hulk. In the TV program, he tries to stay calm because he knows if he gets mad, he gets angry, he turns into this awful character. And so he desperately tries over and over and over not to allow anyone to get him angry. But he couldn't stop the change. You see, in the old way of life, the sinful, those attitudes go unchecked. And they will build and build and build, and we will become somebody we do not want to be. And God says, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Anger is a deep smoldering bitterness, and unchecked it leads to actions which manifest itself in outbursts of wrath. Unchecked it leads to malice, and which is just bent on causing destruction and hurt to someone. And unchecked it leads to slander and abusive language. We must get rid of such things in our life. And there are many Christians who struggle with these attitudes. We struggle daily with them, and we know they are destroying us. And it is so hard because the devil is constantly right there just prodding us and pushing us and wanting us to fall into those. Ephesians, the fourth chapter and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to your hearers." Does that describe the things you've said this week? Has what you've said this week been full of grace? It's necessary. It is absolutely necessary for us to change our attitude. In verses 5, you know, we look at that and we kind of forget what verse 8 is talking about there also. The issues of 8 and 9 may be more difficult for us to deal with because there are things of the mind. There are things that we can rationalize the actions. You know, they made me mad. They did it. Well, I didn't have a thing to do with it. And we rationalize. But you see, it's attitudes that lead to bad actions. And verse 9 encourages us not to lie to one another. When we harbor bad feelings in our heart, they will eventually come out in our actions. When we struggle with this anger issue, don't sweep it under the carpet and say, well, it'll just go away. But quit rationalizing your actions. There's no justification for a Christian to live a life of anger. Bad attitudes just lead to bad actions. Our actions toward one another are to be Christ-like. People are to see us, see Jesus Christ. We are to be a mirror. We are to be a mirror of Jesus Christ to the world around us. Well, this new life must have a change of purpose. See, verses 10 to 11 says, "You have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." We are to have a new purpose for our life. If you want to change, you need to change your purpose. We're called to renew our knowledge in Jesus Christ. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's over and over and over. We renew our knowledge every day in Jesus Christ. And we cannot be renewed to the knowledge of Jesus Christ if we don't know anything about Him. If you don't get in your scriptures and read and learn, you cannot become like Jesus Christ. If you're just waiting to come to Sunday school and morning worship and PM worship and Wednesday evening worship and think that's all it's going to take for you to renew your knowledge, it won't happen. You see, you've got to take some actions. If you want to be like Jesus Christ, you've got to read His Word. You've got to get in there and be transformed by the Word. You see, with knowledge of Jesus Christ leads to a new life. To a new life. And by obtaining that knowledge, the will for our life, our spiritual being is being changed into the likeness of Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Our new purpose is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." What do people see when they see you? Do they see Jesus Christ? Do they see Him being revealed through your life? Someone made a sign and hung it in an office building. And the sign was made for the negative thinker. And this is how it reads: "Don't look, you might see. Don't listen, you might hear. Don't think, you might learn. Don't make a decision, you might be wrong. Don't walk, you might stumble. Don't run, you might fall. Don't live, you might die." And then someone scrawled at the bottom of that sign this: "Don't change, you might grow." Do you want to grow in Jesus Christ? If you want to grow in Jesus Christ, there's got to be some changes. And yet, you are the one who has to work at making those changes. Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior this morning? Have you given Him your life? Have you turned everything over to Him? Have you been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? Have you come up out of that grave a new person? Are you showing that to the world around you? This morning, are there some decisions you need to make? You say, "Preacher, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Are there some changes you need to make? I've been a Christian for 20 years. Are there some changes you need to make? Do people see Jesus Christ through you? this morning, do you want the world to see Jesus Christ in you? Do you have a decision? If so, won't you come as we stand and as we sing? When we walk with the Lord,